Blog Talk Radio.
Okay, everybody, let's hang tight and look for landing radar.
Flight guidance.
No guidance.
We'll need that landing radar by 18,000 with this down track.
Roger.
On the pings.
Roger, I copy guidance.
Okay,
we got data back.
Radar flight looks good.
Roger.
2,000 feet.
Roger. 2,000 foot del H. Goes based on the data you had for an LOS. I see we got it back. Give you another few seconds.
We're yelling fine.
Okay, retro.
Go.
Fido.
Go.
Guide.
Go.
Control.
Go.
Telcom.
Go.
GNC.
Go.
Ecom.
Go.
Surgeon.
Go.
Capcom. We're go to continue PDI.
Coming to you live from the ghost-filled Sierra Nevada gold country in Shingle Springs, California, this is your host, John Almada.
And this is another edition of Ghost Rider Paranormal Radio, coming to you live. What a month we've had, November, almost over. And a business acumen that she's acquired while in corporate. I myself work in the defense industry, so I kind of know a little bit about all that. It's kind of a jungle out there. Her niche is helping people achieve their heart's desire, and I thought that would be kind of a neat thing to bring on, especially here at Christmas time in the middle of a kind of a strange set of events going on with the way Washington is spending our money without any thought about what the heck they're going to get for it and all that. So people are really getting serious about what they really want. So that's why we decided to have her aboard. Whether it's been health, she's worked with people who have survived cancer, tumors, suicide, poisonings, trauma, and et cetera, saving a marriage, creating financial freedom where there was none, helping bring the children of the world understanding what they see about grown-ups, and much, much more. So we're going to have her on at the top of the half hour, 8:30, and look forward to hearing all about what she's got to tell us. And hopefully, I did not hear back from her if she would be taking calls, but we'll see maybe if she can help give a little advice to folks out there. So the call-in number will be 646-478-0377. And let me get the old broadcast laptop into a little better humor here. Let's see who we got. We've got, my good buddy, E.D. Paranormal. Hi, Christine, out in Ohio, representative GRI East. And we've got Karen over in Phoenix, Arizona. Hi, Karen. Good to see you guys. You're the loyal listeners on Sunday. And just to let you know, we are going to be going back in February to this time slot. Tried Fridays. I figured, mistakenly figured it would make things easier for me, and getting off work and trying to do this show right after work every other week was a bit of a problem. So I think getting home Sundays from investigations and having a little more time to plan the show is better. So we're doing that. As I said before, though, we had a busy November, and since we were not able to do the Friday show for reasons, we had a power problem here on the ranch. Yes, it does happen. We had a power problem where the studio power and my home are all on the same line, and the circuit breakers in our garage went crazy, and I was being directed by my father, who thought he remembered where things were and didn't, and so I ended up finding out it was another circuit breaker, and after several days of craziness. So we have everything back, hopefully, on track. Let's see, I just got done hunting with Spencer Hughes of Fox News. He's a member of the GRI team, and he does the program Fox Across America on, I think, I'm trying to remember the name of the satellite network, but it's the satellite everybody can drive around with in their car. That's all I remember. And also he does fill in over here for, at KFBK for some of the hosts here who were on vacation. So I got to listen to a really neat program with him on it. And, oops, am I breaking up? Oh, boy. Am I breaking up? Okay, I'm going to just tone it. I've had a little audio fun here. How about that, guys? Tell me if you hear me, and if not, I'll switch over to the other microphone setup, and we'll just use the phone to call in. Here, I'm going to type it in since we're having... Okay. If that is not the case, I'll just switch over. Okay, well, I'm just going to have the cell phone here. Sorry, guys. So, is it, are you still hearing me? Just making sure. I'm just going to go ahead and go on, and then if you guys just tell me, if Christine tells me she can hear me, I won't switch over. Otherwise, I will switch over to the telephone and do just a quick play on some of the show audio so we can continue on. So I don't know what blast means. Maybe it means something else. So let me just try something. I'm going to switch off of this line. Okay, I think this should work a little better. I'm on the cell phone. I switched over to the backup method. So Karen, I think, can hear me now, and so can Christine. So we're just going to use the telephone to do things tonight the old-fashioned way. So we're going to do that, and I'm going to investigate this other problem. I haven't been in the studio for a few weeks, and things are going to probably be a little better now that I've got this all solved here. So we're going to go ahead and operate this way with the good old cell phone. I think it's a swear word, ha, 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 yeah. So Christine, if you can hear me, let me know. I'm sure this is working a little bit better. So anyway, we'll go ahead on with the show. I'm going to reread things just so we're sure that everybody heard what was going on. Again, our guest is Siobhan O'Connor Moran, and she's an entrepreneur who does work with healing energy and clairvoyance and does a lot of helping people who've to reach their heart's desire. So we're going to be having her on the top of the hour, and thank God we had the problems early on and not in the middle of that interview. And I was talking a bit about our investigations and Spencer Hughes, who is going to be who's a member of our team. Spencer is the host of Fox Across America on Fox News Radio and a good friend of mine and is kind of a fellow radio announcer. He's in the big leagues, and but he likes to hunt with me and our team. And so we have been on a couple of missions together this month, one at the Truckee Hotel. And that went really well. We had some amazing evidence that was captured. We also had, let me see here. We had
another investigation here as of last Friday evening, did an overnighter that ended, started about 9 o'clock and ended at 3 in the morning, and we were a bunch of tired puppies on that one. So we had Michelle Bronner, Michelle Bonner, and she was with us on that investigation, so it was three of us doing the hunting, and we got some pretty interesting EVPs. We were cussed at quite a bit on that investigation. It seems to be a fairly common thing with some haunts, so we were definitely a little bit intimidated by some of the stuff that did happen, and we've got a boatload of video and audio evidence to go through, so this coming month, we're going to probably hold the investigations down to maybe two, possibly one, and try to get through all our backlog of evidence, because we've got a ton to do and some reveals to do for some clients. So we've got that all planned. For the coming, let me think here, for right about, I think the final week of the month, I don't have a calendar in front of me here. Let me pull one up here with a good old computer and take a look at December. Yeah, we're going to be doing a show, I believe, in December on the 20th. I think it's going to be, we got a Christmas show, and that's going to be on Friday the 25th. So we are going to do a Christmas show, and we're going to do a show about Christmas ghosts. So that should be a lot of fun on Christmas evening. We're going to do that. And then we're going to do a special show on New Year's Eve, right about probably a little bit before our normal hour. So Thursday the 31st, we're going to do a show going over the best of the best EVPs and cases we had for the entire year. And I'm hoping that Christine and Karen and all the different people who've been part of GRI's life, and of course maybe we can get Spencer Hughes on and some of the different people to come in and be part of our whole show that night. So there's going to be an awful lot of good stuff going on. So and I'm going to turn down a couple of things here. Here we go. So anyway, wow, welcome. They can hear me. That's good. All right, guys, so I'm going to also do a little muting work on one of the lines and make sure now I think things are, I was hearing a couple of things in the background and I just changed a couple of setups here. Anyway, guys, so we're going to have that end of year show, and I'm hoping, Christine, if you did hear me, I'm hoping that maybe I can get you on and we can have a big conference show at the end of the year and talk about all the great cases we've done. And since you've been part of GRI forever, and you're now GRI Ohio. Oh, my goodness. So we're going to have you on and hopefully hear about some of the Ohio cases you're doing, because I know you're one busy person over there. And Karen, I mean, I got those EVPs that you sent me today and that we got over at the Pioneer Cemetery out here in my part of the world. And so I think we'll probably just go ahead and see about calling you and having you on, too, if you're not working that night, because this poor lady has the most variable schedule you'll ever have working, and I just don't know how she does it, but she's one amazing lady. So we'll see about having that happen. One of the things, if I'm going to harken back to the Truckee Hotel, hey, Kathy, good to see you. We love you. Good to see you. And we were dealing with the Truckee Hotel. And what I wanted to talk about there was the fact that the Truckee Hotel is just one of the most haunted places you are ever going to imagine. And if you want a really good preliminary report of what happened to us when we were there, go out and look on the Fox News website and actually just go to Fox News Radio and type ghost hunt, and or just search for Fox News Radio and ghost hunt and Spencer Hughes on Google, and you will find an article written by Spencer about our case that there just recently. And we've kind of codenamed the case Dude, I Lost My Keys, because poor Spencer lost his car keys just prior to the investigation. And we had we were hunting about in the snow on a very busy railroad track looking for his keys, which turned out to have been found and just early part of last week, they were found, and actually a train had run over them, but the most expensive key survived it. So his house keys were completely mutilated, and so was the remote, I think. But that's all replaceable, but the expensive key survived. So that's a good thing. So there is reincarnation with keys. And Karen says she read that. It was a good article. And, yes, it was, he's a very good writer. Oh, snow. Yes, there was snow. The GRI Mustang was covered in 4 inches of snow. And I was doing some slip sliding away. I didn't know that I could surf with a Mustang, but I found out I could. And it was pretty interesting getting home. But we did get home in one piece. We did some preliminary evidence analysis. We're about 70% through now on the Truckee case. And one of the things we got on the second floor was really interesting. We ended up with a recurring theme in the EVPs. And basically, there's a man's voice that keeps coming in multiple times on the second floor and also outside of the hotel that says, "Heaven help me." And we got one very clear one in room, I believe, 218, that said, "Heaven help me," and then it says, "Frank, help me hide her, I killed her." And we got this very clearly. This is a very clear EVP. And so we're thinking that we've got residuals that are playing back from absolute anguish that this person had, this man who evidently killed a woman in there. And we're just blown away by the kinds of things that we're getting. There's also a lot of very both friendly and hostile EVPs that are occurring on the second and fourth floor. Fourth floor, we got amazing, amazing evidence. And that was, I actually got a EVP, which I will play on next week's show, where it's not so much an EVP. I actually heard an audible with a man in room 401 telling me, "Go home, get out." I ran through the EVP on that particular, the analysis on that particular recording, we caught it on tape. We've got this thing. So we're going to play that. It's going to definitely be on the best of the year, best of the best. So we're looking forward to having that definitely be something that we share with you guys. Just amazing, amazing evidence. And Spencer was just blown away, you know, by it all. And we're training him up pretty fast. I'll say one thing for Spencer. That guy buys digital recorders like candy. And let me tell you what, he's starting to rival my collection, which is hard to do. And I was talking with him today. He called me up, and we were laughing about it all because he's got an amazing array of recording gear. And considering he's in radio, I'm not surprised, but he is totally enthused at what he's getting. So we did this hunt this weekend. We were all very tired, and had our hair in assorted directions when we woke up, and cotton mouth and all that. But we were happy as clams, and some of the evidence we got was downright a little scary. But we've been yelled at before and called names before, and we're still here to tell the tale. So I guess we'll just continue doing that. And I see we got Don Daly aboard. Hi, Don, and we've got guest 5778. Hello, guest 5778. Whoever you are. Wherever you are, we wish you well. Anyway, we're coming up. It's 8:18, and it's time to probably do some paranormal news. And I'm not going to try to find the little music for that. We'll just go right into it. We've got an interesting show that was on just before I came in to fire up the studio about 7:30. There's a show that's on Animal Planet, and it's called The Haunted. And they were playing this episode of about a place called Stamey's Place. And it's, I'm not sure quite where it's at. It says Easton area. So I'm not sure what state this was in. It's layvalleylive.com. And they have the headline says Stamey's Place to be featured on Paranormal Animal Planet program on Sunday. So this story came in yesterday, November 28th, 12:24 a.m. And Rock, I'll just go ahead and read right into it here. Roxanne, a 9-year-old Yorkshire Terrier, is set to be one of the stars of an Animal Planet show called The Haunted, Murder at the Black Horse Inn, which is set to air at 10 p.m. on Sunday, or 7 p.m. Pacific. The dog is owned by Al and Marie Stempo, who own Steamy's Place in Williams Township. They're filming up the episode, which focuses on animals being acutely sensitive to spirits, marks the second visit to the bar and restaurant for Roxanne. Quote, "We were getting the place ready to open and the dog just disappeared," Al Stempo said. "There was no way an 8-pound dog could get the door open, but she somehow got into the basement, and when we found her, she was shaking and shivering, and we never brought the dog back." And the business was formerly known as the Black Horse Inn, and was the scene of the 1928 killing of reputed gangster Saverio, I definitely think it's an Italian name, D-A-M-I, Damiano, Saverio Damiano, sorry about that, guys. The murder of Damiano was never solved, and many customers and workers have reported hauntings over the years. And, quote, "Whether or not you're open to that kind of paranormal stuff, the building has an incredible history that makes you open to connecting the dots," said George Plamondon, an executive producer for Picture Shack Entertainment, which produced the show. Now, just to tell you, the part that I did see the first half hour, they did show the inside and the whole incident with the dog. And what was amazing was seeing that there were double doors, just like this gentleman was saying, big double doors that require a whole lot of force to push open, and there's no way this little terrier was going to do that. And it had to be all the way down into the basement, and there were more doors to go through. And that dog disappeared from right in the room where they were at, upstairs, all the way down into that cellar. And other animals, including big giant Doberman Pinschers, which they showed another one, Doberman Pinscher, who absolutely was terrified and literally screamed at something that it saw in the in that particular place. So I do think there's something to it about the whole notion with dogs being sensitive, including I think they're focusing exclusively on dogs, but here on the ranch here with our little haunt, our cat, actually both cats, are extremely sensitive and do see these things, and they'll track and even chase things or run away from things that we can't see. So I hope one day they go into a little bit more with cats with regard to that, because we're cat people. I love dogs, don't get me wrong, but I think the whole cat situation definitely bears some examination here, too. Huh. So anyway, we've got that story, and we're going to go ahead and run into the next story. Paramount is going to be distributing a Paranormal Activity movie follow-up about Area 51. And this kind of harkens to my my growing up in the defense infrastructure and things like that, so I'm definitely interested. We are going to try, by the way, GRI is going to try to arrange a grand tour on the coming up next year, probably mid-year, to take in all the sites ranging from Northern California on down through L.A. and east up through the deserts, and then work our way down all the way down to probably Tucson and Tombstone, Arizona, and then work our way back up and pass through or near the Area 51 itself. Definitely will not go in and pick a fight with the Cambo dudes. I believe the government needs its own privacy, but at least I can say I've been on the extraterrestrial highway, and I might just stay there and watch some nightlights and see what happens. So GRI is going to be out there and checking that out. Anyway, this particular story says Paramount Pictures has acquired the U.S. distribution rights to Area 51, reteaming with filmmaker Oren Peli for his follow-up to the low-budget haunted house found footage indie Paranormal Activity. Peli shot the film, another, quote, found video thriller, last month in Utah with three virtually unknown actors, Reed Warner, Darren Bragg, and Ben Rovner. The film was shot for just under $5 million. I think I could do it a little easier with my camcorder. And Paramount has made a high seven-figure commitment. Area 51, which had been described as a claustrophobic terror, centers around three teenagers whose curiosity leads them to the legendary and mysterious Area 51 Air Force Base deep in the Nevada desert. And the film will be released in theaters sometime in 2010, although no release date has yet been set. So definitely take a look at that, guys. I think that's going to be interesting. And for our final story before we go to break and then bring Siobhan on, is going to be a little story here, Facts or Phantoms. This is the Pueblo Chieftain for out in southern Colorado, where my sister actually lives, not too far from there. For those people, and there are quite a few who think they have ghosts in their houses and office buildings, Ghost Hunter Roger White has a message. Chances are extremely good that you don't. In fact, there's probably no more than a 10% chance that the odd noises that people hear are from anything other than a heating system, wayward squirrels, or some other earthly source. Paranormal activity is rare, they say here. The human mind is capable of making things up, said White, the lead investigator for Southern Colorado Paranormal Researchers. And White and a partner who is no longer with the group started SCPR in 2006. White's a software developer and says he's been a lifelong skeptic about anything ghost-related. However, a personal experience he had in 2003 got him interested in the possibility of paranormal phenomenon. And he goes on from here he went into the whole thing himself and started a great group here. So it's good to see skeptics out there. It's definitely too easy to ascribe these things that we do get out there as being paranormal. It's kind of why we settle on EVPs ourselves, but because it's so easy to get them out here. I don't know why, but for whatever reason, we get a lot. And it's pretty easy to say that, yeah, there's something going on here if you're getting EVPs with clear voices telling you things, as Karen can well tell you. So anyway, we're going to go ahead and let's see. Let me just give you it's called the Pueblo Chieftain. And just look on Google for Facts or Phantoms, and that's going to be in the Google News if you search for that. Okay, we're going to go ahead and switch over here to get ready for our guest to be on. And I'm just going to I'm going to play an old favorite here. We'll do the Bigfoot Boogie and get ready for that and hope that she is on soon. Okay, so we will have you back in roughly 4 minutes. This is Ghost Rider Paranormal Radio.
And the swamp's what you think I've seen. Something strange, you know. Sasquatch sitting on the cypress knee, and he was talking to Moccasin Joe. Where the party they gonna have? Out in the St. John's Swamps. Sasquatch doing a brand new dance, and he called it the Bigfoot Stomp. Sasquatch dancing around the two Bigfoot boogie in the parallel ground. Eddie Lizard, he a beating the drums, and Moccasin Jaws, he's a running his gum. Stan the Snake, he's a playing the bass, and he'd a be partying all over the place. Oh, get a Ralphie, he'd a rotting his bow, and he'd a be jamming with Moccasin Joe. A Sasquatch doing a brand new dance. Sasquatch dancing around it to the Bigfoot Boogie in the Paraloo ground. Get it, boy. I woke up last night to a terrible sound with a whole lot of noise, something shaking the ground. I crept in the swamp where they were getting down to the Bigfoot Boogie in the Paraloo ground. To the Bigfoot Boogie, yeah, the Bigfoot Boogie, yeah, the Bigfoot Boogie in the St. John's Swamps. Eddie the Lizard, he's beating the drums, yeah, old Moccasin George, he's running his gun. Stan the Snake, he's playing the bass, and he's beat partying all over the place. Yeah, old Peter's out, Peter's rotting the floor, and he's jamming with Moccasin Joe. Sasquatch doing a brand new dance. It's called the Bigfoot Boogie in the Paraloo Land. Do the Bigfoot Boogie. Doing the Bigfoot Boogie. Jump, jump. Yeah, the Bigfoot Boogie in the St. John's Swamp. Doing the Bigfoot Boogie in the St. John's Swamp.
Okay. We're back, and We are looking to see if our guest has called in, and I think we have her here. So I am going to go ahead and get the mouse lined up. It's been a little challenging. Here we go. Okay, is Siobhan with us?
Yes, hi, how are you?
Hey, pretty good. Nice, clear, cold night here in the Sierra Nevada range. Yeah, and you're in Southern California, I take it?
We are, and our it's cold, but not everybody would agree.
Yeah, well, I just had to, basically we're on a haunted ranch here in Shingle Springs. It's not too far from Placerville, and so I was just out draining our agricultural lines today and was rather cold doing it. I got water all over me, and oh yeah, so I'll tell you what, I'll take your idea of cold over mine, trust me.
So I send you warmth and heat.
Thank you very much. We're going to need it. But I'm in a nice warm studio. We had power finally all restored. I appreciate you being understanding with us what happened on Friday with everything going crazy in our garage where the power distribution system went nuts. So we've got that all fixed up. But anyway, we've got you here on the show. And again, this is Siobhan O'Connor Moran. And this lady's really interesting. She's got some very interesting things to say. She has done a lot of work with in the corporate environment and worked with 7,500 clients using healing energy, clairvoyance, and the business acumen she's acquired while in corporate. And your niche is in helping people achieve their heart's desire, whether that's been health, and that's, again, with people who've survived cancer, tumors, suicide, poisoning, trauma, saving marriages, creating financial freedom where there was none, and helping children. So you kind of cover the whole gamut there, my friend.
Yeah.
Yeah. So, what is it you do in this business that you do? I mean, you're mixing the corporate in. So I just wanted to let's just pick that as a jumping in point and take it from there.
You know, one of the interesting things I discovered throughout my entire life is I had this sensitivity. And later I found out that it's really all applicable to energy. And after studying energy for several years, it just became apparent that everything can be dealt with in an energetic manner. And if you know the formula or recipe in order to deal with it, you can affect really, really fast change, whether it's in the corporate environment, whether it's in physical health, whether it's in a relationship.
Okay, and how does that work? I mean, when you're talking about energy, is it in the form of meditation, or you know, having somebody actually interact and work on your energy? You know, there's many different forms of this. So,
great, yeah. Some of that is with a specific witness piece. For example, let's just talk about things that people are wanting right now. It's, you know, the holiday season. So I was flipping through a magazine and I was thinking, okay, so how does energy apply to flipping through a magazine? Well, if you think about it in terms of somebody who wants something, you say, oh, I like that, 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 oh, I like that. And so you have a constant barrage of energy. Not yours, everybody else's, from an ad or an ad agency or the company, you know, bombarding your brain. And so you're not sorting through or discerning in micro levels. What you're doing is you're just saying, I want, oh, that's good, oh, I'd like that, I'd like that. And as you get more adept and in tune with different energies and vibrations that are around you, you become very discerning. So that's one aspect. And then the other aspect is through healing and dealing with patterns. And everything in the universe has a pattern. And it's about finding that pattern, whether it's in the behavior, or whether it's in the cell, or whether it's in an organ, to shift that to a more healthy pattern.
And how, now, let's say I'm a client of yours, and I come in to see you, and I'm dealing with something like that, like I have a particular issue that's happening, you know, to me physically. And I walk in the door and I explain that. Now, let me pick one here that's a good one. Let's say I've had cancer. What happens when I walk in the door and I come to see you, Siobhan?
Well, most people would say that with a clairvoyant, the clairvoyant should just figure out what the problem is and go directly at the problem. I don't do that. I ask a lot of questions. I want to know about the human and the life, and I want to know about their patterns in their life. Now, there's something that I do that is different than others is while using the other intuitive senses, you know, some say, I use clairvoyant. I personally don't really like the word, but people get what it is. But the ability to get to the heart of the matter is really what I call it. And I use that to home in on the exact issue. So, for example, I'll give you a recent client who had liver cancer. And his issue, even though he was really calm in his demeanor and he was really well put together and things, you would never know it. And of course, we had a very interesting barrier, which was language. We didn't speak very good. I didn't speak Japanese, and he didn't speak English as well as I do. So you have to be really on top of it. And so what the matter that we got to was deep, 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 old, and it was actually ancient familial family anger associated with a behavior in the way the parents raised the children, and it went back a couple of generations. So when we were looking at that, that's where we found the issue. Now the matter is to release that issue from the energy of the system to clear things like a cancer, because it is an energy, and once it's taken hold of an organ or a cell or something in the body, it is more challenging to get out.
And how does that work? I mean, what let's say in a typical case, what would you have someone do, and how would you work with that?
Yeah, that's great. You know, there's something funny because Western medicine treats cases very typically, and they say, you know, this cancer is this type of cancer. And you know, what I've discovered in all of these thousands of people I've worked with is there is no typical case. There may be great similarities. However, because each of us have individual nuances and experiences, interactions, disappointments or joys in our lives, we won't have the exact same result in our system. And when you look at a cancer, while it may have a same tendency, it is definitely not going to have the same frequency. And it's about getting to the heart of the frequency to shift the frequency to a higher vibration. Now, we could use it in terms of nature and in a botany, which would be, you know, you want it to be more alkaline. Yes. However, you really want it to be a great positive frequency so that it's not attacking itself. Because really all cancer is it's a pattern that is repeating, just like a virus in the computer, it's repeating much too quickly.
Yeah, it's a growth, an out-of-control growth. Most cancers are like that. It's
exactly.
Just like the growth machinery has gone nuts, and it's just you know, Western medicine tries to kill. You know, it just takes this brute force approach, which you're doing something much more subtle.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you're getting, you know, if I read it right, you're trying to go right to the root where the whole problem started, and then give the body a chance to basically repel this on its own.
But John, and that's true, John, and it's inside the body. However, anything that is dealing with the energy has always started outside the body. So all of our systems are affected by the subtle body that is outside the body. You know, people will say aura, but that's really not descriptive enough. And you have to work inside and outside simultaneously in order to affect the greatest change. And that's where science is missing this component.
Well, so it sounds to me like, you know, since you're saying it's so individual, you're really doing a lot of detective work to go through the whole person as a whole. You're looking at, you know, the psychological spiritual, environmental components, and as well as the internal medical as a
you
complete
right
unit
on,
there.
Right. Yeah, you're right on. That's exactly right. Including what goes into the body as far as fuel, food. Yes, absolutely. If you don't do all of those things, what I discovered when I first started doing energy medicine or energy healing was I was just getting one component, and people would go home and they'd be interacting with family or friends or loved ones, and they have a same pattern that would still show up. Yet they were feeling better and they were happier and their vibration was good, and then they'd come back and they would have a similar or a different resonance that just wasn't the same as when they left. And I thought, there is something missing here. And so I started looking at every facet. And if you include every facet, what you do is you end up with a whole human and a whole way of healing.
So it's a repetition of visits so that they do see what's, you know, you get to see, kind of guide the whole process along and see where you're missing things. And then basically advising them. But are you doing anything actively yourself? Are you running energy into them? Or are you doing any? You're talking that you do some of the clairvoyant work where you're trying to peer into the problem and get to the root of it. But are there is there any other aspect that you do beyond that?
Yes, there is an active piece. There are actually many facets of my active piece that are hard to describe. Some of it is, you know, I mean, I'll use basic terms that maybe many people will know about, which would be clearing, cleansing, energizing, removing, resolving, being a witness so that it shifts, and also changing the frequency. And then I'm guiding them through the piece to get to the heart of the matter. And here's the other really fun part, Don, is that a lot of people like to hide in their stuff and continue to, you know, let it swirl in and around them. And I think the fun part, being the detective, is to say, you know what, that's not, you know, here's the core issue, and we're going to go right there. And people, I get this all the time, people's eyes wide open, like, how did you find that?
Oh my God! So you really go the whole distance, and then so basically, when they come to you, they better be ready to face reality.
Yeah, that's true. That's true. It is gentle. I mean, it's very gentle and it's very loving, and you know, there has to be an immeasurable amount of compassion. And I'm really just a vehicle to help them get to where they wouldn't be with me or have found me or gotten into my office unless they were ready to make a shift. And that's really just kind of the rule of thumb I've discovered over the years.
Well, from the looks of your website, and I kind of just was walking through it, it was just amazing, you know, the amount of things that were in there. So you've been at this a while from what I can see. And for those interested, her website is www.energeticsolutions.net. So for those of you that are in the chat room, by the way, we have a question for you from Kathy over at Distant Echoes. She's a good buddy of mine back east, and she's always here on the chats with us. She says, how does she go about doing this type of healing of cancer without taking on the personification or pain from the disease?
That's a great question. Thanks for asking that, Kathy. One of the best tools is to really understand and know that you have boundaries. And one of the things that I discovered over the course of these years is to, in order to be a really good, healthy practitioner, physically, mentally, and emotionally, is you have to have good boundaries to say and understand mine, not mine. Mine, not mine, and discern at that moment in time and be really clear with yourself. A lot of people will run energy, and even though they're running energy, they end up being a conduit for the energy to come back to them, and we have some tools to disconnect from that. So really, when I go home at the end of the day, I go home with me, and the client or the patient or whatever goes home with their stuff, and they get healing faster because of that. And then we have a whole host of, I'll call them energy hygiene tools that are really important for the practitioner and the client in order to facilitate the fastest amount of healing. Because I don't want people in my office for years and years or months and months. It's about getting to the heart of the matter and doing it well and doing it fast and doing it with love and compassion so that they get on with their life.
All right. And I've got, let's see, the are you open for questions for callers, by the way?
Oh, absolutely.
Okay, so for those interested, I'm going to open the chat room, or not the chat room, the chat lines. The number is 646-478-0377, and I'll be watching the board. And so we'll just make sure that I'm watching that in case anybody does dial in here, get the broadcast PC ready. Okay, and now, and I'm kind of interested in this this whole cleansing tool thing that you just talked about, because it's really funny. You know, I'm a ghost hunter, you know, as you know, and many out there know this. But when we come home from some of our investigations, we tend to, I use a few spiritual practices of my own and try to do, you know, do white light, running energy through, grounding myself and all that. I don't know if that's enough, but it seems to be working so far. But is that something that, you know, there would be tools available that might improve and help protect me a little better? You know,
absolutely.
Going out there doing what?
Yeah, you know, I mean, I've had some pretty wacky experiences with clients in my office, and, you know, you have to be good at grounding, and there are actually, we've developed advanced grounding technology over the past, I don't know, 8 years in order to get people grounded and in their body so they stop taking on other people's stuff, even at more subtle levels. And other shielding techniques that are more advanced than white light, and again, there's a whole plethora of things to do that really help, depending upon the situation. For, you know, I mean, when you're particularly when you're dealing with ghosts, you have lots of different vibrations, and you know, some are less happy than others.
Just and, through that experience, let me tell you, yeah, and you come out of there sometimes feeling like you just got the holy hell beat out of you, and I, literally you do. You come out, and it takes me sometimes 2 or 3 days to recover, and I'm really working on myself, you know, and sometimes I just have to not do any more cases for a little while till I can snap out of it, but, and I'm psychic myself. I grew up in a family of, you know, sensitive and intuitive type people, and it just, boy, you come out, you feel like you've been beat up. Would be the word. So,
yeah, well,
you know,
there are tools that are much more advanced to, so it doesn't take you days to recover, which is, I think it would help you tremendously.
Well, you know, I tell you what, I'm going to be talking with you after the show. We're going to be, because, I mean, the shielding techniques, I mean, I've done a little work with stones and different things that seem to help me. I wear zircon, which is a protective stone, but you know, I've only got some basic techniques, so I'm. You know, you're telling me that this has really progressed quite a bit over time. Then, that there's actually technologies at work here.
Yeah, they've been around for a while. It's just people have only been using them to a limited degree, and there's really you have to really get into the heart of the energy of it. And you have to really understand where it's kind of falling down or failing or missing. And it's just like anything else. You do have to practice at it a little bit in order to be very proficient. But it doesn't take a long time. It's not like it's years to master. I mean, yes, I'm very good at this. I've been doing it a long time. However, the techniques are repeatable.
Okay, so it's definitely a method, and it's just like anything else, just constant practice. You get better and better.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and it's even faster.
Well, you know, that's funny. You brought up, you know, how long you've been doing this. And the question is, how did you get into all of this?
That's a funny story. It's a long story, so I'll make it as brief as I can. Essentially, I had a pretty significant loss in my life, and my dad's best friend said to me, you know what, just do everything anybody says and just go with, you know, go with the flow, and your whole life is going to open up before you. And And certainly I did, and then I went into corporate and, you know, did all of these wonderful things. And then I apparently was a little bit more driven, and apparently that's kind of my MO. and I really liked what I was doing because it was helping people in a way that I could see the results. However, I wasn't paying attention to my body. So I got sick, and at the same time, I don't believe in doctors, and I happened to be in the pharmaceutical industry, so not only do I not believe in doctors, I didn't believe in pharmaceuticals, and they kept trying to give me pills and creams and nonsense, and I kept throwing it in the trash as soon as I walk out the door. And then I found a doctor who started out with diet and meditation, and he said, here's this diet and do meditation. And I was like, yeah, I've been trying meditation since I was 16, and I have yet to succeed at it. And then I found a class on energy healing, and at the end of the class, I did a meditation. I opened my eyes in the middle of the meditation. I thought, oh, that's what this cool stuff is. This makes sense. And so I took it from there, and basically I accosted every person I could get my hands on who had what I thought might be an ailment just so I could practice, because I really didn't have anybody I thought I could talk with about it. So I kind of went about it through a lot of loss. However, it had already been there the whole time.
Wow. So you had developed the interest in meditation, but it was just not clicking. And then it just, you know, I guess just the right combination of circumstances. But, you know, it's funny. I personally parallel you a little bit in the whole abusing the body thing, because I ended up with shingles attacking my eyes in 2006, and I was corporate webmaster for a defense aerospace giant, and I was trying to carry probably the work of six guys by myself, and I ended up my body came in and grabbed me by the throat and hauled me around a little bit and told me, you're not going to do that anymore. And I listened, and I did take one of the antivirals they gave me, but I really wasn't happy with, you know, it stopped the virus, but they left me with nothing to work with after that. And I ended up studying, and I found fish oil tablets, 1,500 milligrams of fish oil, daily, healed me. And I've been since passed that on to a lot of other people with shingles. And but I gave up my career and basically went back to the laboratory and got out of the stress and listened to my body. And, you know, it's same kind of butt-kicking that I think you got. It just changed everything, and my whole life turned. And I've been trying meditation. You know, that's the thing is I'm at the place right now where you were with the meditation. I'm still going, does this stuff really work? I mean, I feel kind of good afterwards, but, you know, there's obviously something that I'm missing, you know, so I don't know.
Yeah, meditation's interesting. You know, people think that, you know, we're supposed to have these quiet minds, we're supposed to be able to stare at walls, and I've been teaching meditation for, I don't know, I guess 20 years now, and, you know, I got to say, I haven't ever once had a quiet mind. I mean, I've been in a lot of quiet places, but there's definitely, even at the deepest of meditation, there's some thought flying through, and it's just about teaching how to do meditation or allow meditation while that stuff is happening. And you do have to set aside a time and be diligent, and even if that's only 10 minutes, people think it has to be hours or an hour, and it doesn't. You know, we're so caught up in the has-tos, and I'm so about, you know, we don't have a whole lot of time in our lives. We gotta do what's right for us.
So time is not an element, then. It's just the doing that brings the mind, you know, the mind to this. That's an interesting thing. I never even had considered that as a possibility, because to me it seemed like meditation would have been a half hour, an hour, 90 minutes, you know, and I kept, just like you said, I kept hearing this thing about quieting the mind, and I'd be sitting there and these thoughts would be appearing in my head that, where the heck did that come from, you know? So basically you're saying it's okay.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. And you know, John, the interesting thing is that all of this mythology that's around meditation gets us into the deepest trouble. because quiet mind, no such thing. If we had a quiet mind, we wouldn't be alive. We would be those ghosts, and they don't even have quiet minds. And in an hour, oh, come on. I mean, not until you're further down in the meditation path are you really going to be interested in meditating for an hour.
Yeah, the 10 minutes, I mean, you can actually do that in 10 minutes.
You know, I did, based upon this kind of studying that I did, I'm a scientist. I actually studied computer science when I was a teenager. And what I decided was I'm going to find the things that frustrate people the most. Okay, who was frustrated the most? I was. And, you know, who had the least amount of time? I did. Okay, so I have 10 minutes. I can do 10 minutes. So I created a dozen CDs that they're 15, but they're the deepest 15 minutes you're going to get in your day, and they're the best meditation you're going to get in the quickest amount of time with the fastest results. You know, I did come from corporate, so I'm about the fast results.
Well, you know what? I'm a computer scientist myself, so if you can do it, I can do it.
Yay!
Yeah, that's good. Well, we are coming off the same tree here, my friend. that's amazing. I, you know what? I am going to do this. I mean, I definitely want to give this a try. So I'm going to definitely check this out on your site, and I think I'll give myself a Christmas gift and head out there and see about these. I mean, are you still selling these?
Absolutely. They're all either you can have them shipped or you can download them, and I think they're under the products page, M&T or something like that, Meditation and Transformation. But we have over a dozen, and we just created, I think, 4 new ones, and we have about 4 other ones coming up again soon. So, yeah, it's about getting to the vibration. And if you get to the vibration and you use energy appropriately and you communicate it appropriately in ways that is right for each individual, then meditation happens much more effortlessly.
Okay. And do you think that is time of day a factor? Let's say you know some people have the mornings are only open or evenings are open. Is there a time that is better for the human body than your experience to do meditation?
You know, ultimately, all of the great books, you know, everything from Bible to Bhagavad Gita and Mahabharata and all of the great books say morning. Now, my philosophy is when you're first starting meditation is, you know what, you have to do what works for you. Because if you don't, then you're not ever going to do it. And if you don't, you're going to be frustrated about meditating. And meditation isn't about being frustrated. It's just about doing it so that you give the mind the break that it's requiring anyway. So, you know, if you do something consistent every day, then you end up with a wonderful inner peace that you just haven't gotten any other time. So,
okay.
No, time of day doesn't matter.
All right. I'm interested in this. This is turning out to be a very good interview. You've got my attention on some of the things you're saying here, or all of it, excuse me. I'm looking at here at the bio, and I keep seeing the corporate environment being talked about. So obviously, you are working with corporate entities and giants, I would take it, with different sorts of cases with them. What sorts of things happen with corporate America or beyond with regard to
what you do? I love them because they're so willing, based upon, you know, either just needing to survive, they're so willing to do whatever it takes. And I'm working with a company right now that has a product that has been shifting the security market, meaning security of some technology, and I couldn't give you all details. I don't really know them, but a couple years ago, I would say actually about 2 years and 1 month ago, the guy was about to lose his home, his business, and one of his other profitable companies, and he was in trouble with the FTC, Federal Trade Commission, for they were just being really hard on him. And so we worked on the different tools and techniques energetically of how to handle particular types of employees, how to hire, how to hand off and still hold the energy and still be the this amazing growing company. And here we are these 2 years later, and he's at, I think he told me the other day, his sales are at $12 million. So he went from bankruptcy to $12 million in 2 years. And it's not like it's this, you know, leading edge, cutting edge, amazing. I mean, it's pretty cool. However, through the energetic tools and principles that we've given him for every facet of his business, finance department, his assistant, et cetera, he's been able to develop, grow his company.
So really, you come in with almost the same techniques that you would do for an individual who walked in.
Yeah.
And kind of look at the whole company as a whole and are able to apply the same energetic techniques and different things. So it's really looking at the business, the corporation as a person almost, if you will.
That's exactly right, yeah. And it's all energy, and it's about how do you look at the pattern and what do you do when you see the pattern. And that's what we've designed, is we've designed recipes or we've designed formulas so that when you find this particular pattern, these are the things you do, and this is how you help the company or the person resolve it so that it shifts around.
And how do they find you? I mean, do they they're at a point now with especially in this whole challenging, you know, business climate, are they're looking about and trying unconventional techniques? Is that it? And they're hearing about you through the grapevine?
Boy, John, people just seem to find me. Somebody say, I had a lady a couple months ago, and I always ask, so how did you find me? She says, oh, I overheard somebody talking about you in the supermarket. I said, really? I said, did you know them? She said, oh, no. I said, are you serious?
So they just come to you when it's
supposed, the match is supposed to happen, it happens.
I know the feeling. I started GRI just 3 years ago, and it just sort of took off. And now I've got cases coming to me, you know, from all over. I've got one of my team members is from Fox Across America, Fox News Radio, and just miraculous stuff is going on. And I'm going, I looked up one day and I went, how did this all happen? So, and I'm getting cases that are unbelievable, and you just go, wow, this is really neat. I'm having the time of my life. So, and it sounds to me like you're having a lot of fun with this, because I hear that in your voice.
Oh, I love this. I mean, who gets to do what I get to do every day and see the results and see people walk away saying, oh, my God, I feel amazing. I haven't felt amazing like this, like, since I can ever remember, or wow, that's a big shift, or I treat my kids differently. Oh, my gosh, my company got saved. You know, I don't know. It's just, it's amazing. And it's an amazing thing to be a detective and play in the energy and get to resolve it.
So this is a big playground for you then.
Yeah, it is.
You're like a little kid dancing in the waves and just kind of making little sandcastles and saving other people's sandcastles and showing them how to take care of it themselves. That's I can't think of a better existence. I kind of like that. It really, to me, it sounds like you're playing. Yeah, really.
I do. That's exactly what I call it. I call it playing.
Okay. I see what you're up to. Yeah, I got that. I'm on to you. All right. Well, now, let's see. You also, I sent you an email, and I wasn't sure if you got it before, but I'm just going to go ahead and take a risk here. You mentioned poisoning in your entry bio here. And I myself, back in 1997 through about 1999, I was actually the victim of a poisoning myself. And they're still not sure what I got hit with, but I ended up with all the classic things, you know, knees lines on my hands, and I had alopecia, was very, very ill, and I got out of the situation I was in. I won't go into the details of it all, but you mentioned this whole poisoning aspect, and I was really intrigued with this, because having been through it myself and recovered, what do you do with people who've been poisoned and are, you know, either are in the middle of the situation or afterwards?
know, it's the same philosophy of going in, identifying the source, and getting to the source of the matter so it resolves as quickly as possible. You know, the poisoning could be, in your case, an unknown issue, and it doesn't matter whether it's unknown or known. It's at the same heart of the matter. How did the body or the patterns, programs, or attitudes within you grasp on to that to hold it so that it really took hold and took over your system, and to release that pattern, program, and attitude? Because at the end of the day, nothing can harm the system if there isn't a hook, an energetic hook, or an energetic conflict that allows that to be in there.
You hit this right on the head, and you know, in my particular case, it was not so much an unknown as it was a known situation, and I was in a bad, very bad situation. Let's just say that, and I became actually kind of blind to it, and despite the fact that I'm psychic, it was something so close to me I couldn't actually see it, you know, and it took other people outside who were able to more clearly see what was going on that ultimately pulled me through it and helped me out of it. But, you know,
but
I think that's kind of what you're doing.
Right, and at the time it was an unknown, right?
Yeah, I was going to doctors, and they were prescribing medicines for all the wrong things, and it finally, in 1999, it became very clear what was going on. And, you know, when I got removed from the environment where this was occurring, it took me, I left May 1st, 1999, and I woke up one morning in July, and for the first time in well over 2 years, I felt good, and I felt actually alive, and I got my old smile back, you know. And I've got a very raucous sense of humor. I'm very biting in the way I do my humor, and I like to laugh and joke a lot. So it was good to get back. And when I saw my parents later that day, they said, "The old John's back," and I was like, "Yeah, it feels really good to be here." You know, I'm real thankful. And a lot of people would be, you know, angry that they got in that situation and all that. And I've looked at it as, hey, I got through that. I'm here and still telling a tale, you know. So, you know, but I would gather that people that have had this stuff happen to them, that have poisoned or had something like this happen, probably need a little help, you know, to get through. I mean, I was lucky I had family and some professionals who were able to help me get through it. So, you know, I take it that's what you're doing, though. You're going the whole distance to look at the entire picture, where, as you know, the medical people I was dealing with were only looking at symptoms and not the entire problem.
Yeah, and that's the dilemma with our Western medicine system. It's not designed at getting to the heart of the matter. And, you know, we need a more multi-pronged approach, and that's what we do, is we really want to get to the heart of the matter through not just one aspect, because Western medicine has great tests, but at the end of the day, it's still not going to do anything unless you give a lot more credence to many more facets of the human than they do. So, well, I'm glad you're here and healthy.
Yeah, I'm glad to be here too. By gosh, I've got a lot of ghosts to hunt, and you know, and I love what I do. And again, the radio show, the things that, you know, the people I've met, you know, here I am, you know, meeting you, and I've got some fascinating new thing that we're going to be picking up on here. Yes, I'm very glad to be here, and I've met so many wonderful people, you know, and hopefully me giving back something makes it all worth it. So, you know, God saw fit to keep me around. You know, and I'm returning the favor to him, her, all that is, you know. But I'm going to ask you a really whacked question here, and I'm just going to see what you say. But since you say that everything is patterns, right, and energy?
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Okay. What would happen if, let's say, the United States government came to you and said, take a look at this mess? what would you do if the client was the United States of America? And I know this is sort of somewhat political and deep. But what would you do, just as a for instance, what would you do for an entire country? And I'm not going to single out the United States. Let's just say it's a country having problems. Would you treat it the same way?
I imagine so. You know, I mean, there are things out there called memes, which are thought forms, and egregors, which are patterns, programs, attitudes, and beliefs. And it's really about dealing with those and just, I imagine it would be the same. I'd probably look at them and say, are you serious? Okay, calm. And then I'd be like, okay, cool. Now, let's talk. Are you willing to do what I'm going to tell you to do, or are you not?
Yeah, I tend to think with Congress in a way it would be it would come out completely different than what you told them to do. But it, let's just say magically they did. Yeah. So that it basically, if I'm hearing it right, the same principles apply even though it's across different scales from the individual all the way up to potentially whole nations.
Right.
I think it would be.
Yeah. It doesn't matter. You know, at the end of the day, it's about finding the pattern, finding the frequency, and really addressing many aspects of that to resolve the nuances that continue to occur. So, if you think about this from ancient times, ancient leaders, we'll call them monarchs or whatever from other times, you know, they had a lot of tools, not all of these, but they had a bunch of tools to address some of these things. Now they're figureheads, and so they don't have these kind of tools, and so they're a lot more susceptible to, you know, nuances. But I would imagine that it couldn't be any different. I mean, I'd still look at it as like, wow, that's kind of cool. Now let's play with that. And I live in a world of, you know, happy, healthy, you know, a little bit more, I guess, Pollyanna than most, but I think it's all possible. Why not?
Yeah, I would agree. I mean, it just seems to me that instead of putting politicians in office, they should put more people like you who are more concerned with the health of the whole organism and say, look, you know, let's get past all this promises and stuff that don't work. You know, you got to work hard, okay? Come on, here's what we need to do.
The energy, then they wouldn't be doing all of the icky, garbagey kind of things they're doing to each other.
Yeah, I don't know, but I'll tell you what. I mean, you're doing some really interesting stuff. I just think that this is sort of the future where a lot of things are going to go. I'm sure that you're one of, since you got into this, you know, there's other people similar to you doing similar things, so the message is getting out to people then to almost basically quiet your mind, take time for yourself, you know, focus on you, the whole person, or you, the whole company, and potentially you, the whole country, and really make the effort then, and instead of being distracted to death. And that's something, you know, it's funny I'm in an application development team now and doing research work, and what I keep telling my boss is, I keep saying, look, a human being only has this amount of bandwidth, and here's the number of projects you want me to do at once. Do you expect this to really come out good if I'm so divided in my efforts, and do you expect the health of what we've turned out to be good? And I think I'm getting through to them because they're really starting to understand that and kind of back off and let us do good work. And, you know, and I feel better about what's going out the door. So, you know, it just seems to me that, you know, even with the media and all the things that come at us, we're being pummeled to death. I mean, are you saying the same sort of thing, though? It's like it's tone down the amount of inputs and give people time to kind of settle in?
Yes, and also be really, really clear about everything. I mean, the clearer you get energetically, the more time you have, which is really bizarre. So rather than, you know, I had a woman in my office, a high-powered executive in my office the other day, and she said, well, I got this, and I got that, and I got this, and that, and she listed, you know, probably 20 things she was doing at the same time, and I said, well, when you're taking a shower, are you doing those other things? And she looked at me, and she her jaw hung open, and she looked at me, and she said, well, no. I said, right, you only get to take one shower at a time. You're not doing all of those other things. You put them into motion, and machines are doing them. However, you're only doing one thing at a time. And she said to me later, she said, just that one realization for the mere fact that she's not really doing all of those things, she has more time in her day.
Yeah. That's the thing. That's what I'm trying to get across, in just the little thing we're doing in my own corporate, you know, job. That's it's just, you know, stop and let's just focus on what we're doing for the week.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I take time to plan my week out. Monday, you know, tomorrow morning I'm going to be sitting there at 8:30, off coffee cup in hand, and you know, I got my list, and I only pick what I think I can reasonably do, and then. You know, and it never comes out because there's always something that comes and derails it. But I get a lot farther than I would have if I hadn't have done that, you know. And I try to just do what I can and not, and then don't beat myself up because I don't get there. You know, I'm just it's like sailing. You know, you're always off course. It's just by how far and how often you correct.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I mean, would that be similar to what you're?
Yeah, and as you get more proficient at it, what happens is you become like this, okay, next, okay, and you get very, very clear. And things, you kind of, I wrote this book, it's kind of a spoof, but it's a spoof on manifesting, and it's called Shotgun Shopping. And all it is about, it's about manifesting, but not really manifesting, taking it to the next level of materializing. And getting really laser point clear so that you materialize things, so to speak, out of thin air. Although that isn't always what happens, but you'll see by the stories that it happens a lot.
You know, I've heard that before, and with regard to, you know, focusing on a particular outcome and, you know, just like you're saying, the clarity of it. And if you stay true to it, somehow the universe, I don't know how this works, and I've wondered about it myself. I've seen it happen, even in my own life, when I really wanted something and I really stuck to it and, you know, stuck to my guns on it, it somehow the universe coalesced the situation around me so that it came about. And I still marvel at that. I think that's just amazing that, you know, it's like a property of reality, our universal structure, whatever you want to call it, but it just has that magic thing to it that it's like God saying, okay, yeah, you know, I can see you really clear. I'll make this happen for you. You just have to have the intent and the desire.
And clarity, but it has to be clarity, because if you don't have the clarity, it's really not that great. And you get kind of mixed up results.
Do you hold to the fact then that the clarity, is clarity mean that you kind of trim everything back? Or can you have clarity and have lots of things that you're clear about?
You can have clarity and lots of things you're clear about. However, you have to be really, really clear.
And I take it that also means that the clarity means that you better know, you better be careful what you ask for.
Every time you better be careful what you ask for, because you're going to get it. Because if you're thinking, oh, my God, this is going to happen. Oh, my God, this is, oh, and it's just a disastrous thing. I had this boyfriend one time. He kept saying, now, you're going to cut yourself. And this is long before I really understood the nuances of energy that I do now. And I finally said to him, you have to stop telling me that. Because while I don't believe that, you're making it seem like I'm supposed to believe that. So you have to stop talking about it. And he just poo-pooed me and said, no, I don't. And finally, one day, I did cut myself, and I looked at him and I said, see, now stop talking about it. So now I have tools where I don't have to do that. But, you know, still, you have to be really, really clear, or else you will get really funky results.
So the meditation does help with that. It helps get the mind in a state that you can kind of see, maybe, and not only because, I mean, you're dealing with the subconscious and conscious impulses that people have, and maybe uniting that, I guess, in meditation to see what you, not so much what you want, but maybe what you need?
Meditation, I think, gives you the ability to hone in on, yes, what is right for you.
Yeah, that's me. See, yeah, because I just don't think sometimes our frontal lobes are all together, have their oars in the water, and often it's the emotional depths that seem to have the right answers for you. So it just, you know, a little guidance from the intellect, but often it's whatever the rest of that brain is doing that's really got things figured out. So, you know, I really think, you know, the whole meditation thing, what you're saying, it's right on. I've just got to get it to do what you're talking about, have that moment where I go, oh, yes. And I'm wanting that so bad. So I'm going to do this. I'm going to stick this out. And I know I'm going to get you back on because I'm going to be able
to say
something. This is
great. You know what? I'm going to offer. Can I offer your listeners like a half price on my book? That way, if they really want this, that they can take the book. Yeah. There's a website called shotgunshoppingbook.com, and right now on the front page, and I don't give this to everybody, so on the front page, I think it's buy now, it's only like, it's usually $19.95, I think it's only like $10 or $9 or something like that, so we did like half price.
Okay.
So that's for you guys.
All right, and just mention that they heard it on this program, and then... Okay, we'll do that. All right, I'll tell you what. I'll make you a deal. I'm gonna definitely get it. And then if we can get you back on, I'll go ahead and get the CDs too. I'll just get the download thing so it's faster. And then probably about March, maybe March, April time frame, come back on and actually use me as a test case.
Oh, I'd love that.
Yeah, I think that'd be a great thing. So I'm writing this all down on the show notes to reschedule you in and then have this happen. So I'm going to make a test case out of myself and talk about this on the every other Saturday, because we're moving to Sundays here in February. We're going to do this, and I'll just stay in touch with you and let you know how it's going. So this has been really interesting. We're coming up. We're probably on the last 4 minutes of the interview here. Probably a few more questions. I've got a couple of things here. One person named Satin Doll has a question. Can someone hone in on those gifts specifically, or is it more instinct, et cetera? So I guess on the gifts that it's basically what Satin Doll is saying. I believe everyone has some sense of psychic gifts. The question is, can someone hone in on those gifts specifically, or is it mostly instinct, et cetera?
Great question, Sandal. So, yes, it is about getting really... Everybody has access to these gifts. It's just about what is more prominent for you and what will open up sooner than another for you. And the other interesting thing is the more quiet you get and the more peaceful and clear you get, the more obvious those gifts, I guess we'll call them gifts, become, and the more awakened they become within you.
Yeah, that makes sense. I mean, that's why a lot of people, I think, especially psychics, you tend to notice people who do this stuff a lot tend to be in more quiet environments. They tend to be, it's kind of instinctual or by design or both. Where they tend to be kind of a little bit off the beaten track somewhat, and they surround themselves with the right environment to bring those, kind of enhance these things and abilities. You know, they're usually in the quiet country place or a quiet place in the city where they're off the beaten track, and they've got, you know, the right sounds, the right feeling, and sounds of water, things like that. I mean, they build that environment to bring that out. It's like it's like a cocoon almost. I mean, would you agree?
Yes. I mean, a lot of people do that. However, I don't have that luxury. I kind of live outside of a big city, and, you know, there's a lot of noise, and you just have to really know what to do to make sure you get your own quiet within your own space. And it doesn't have to be a lot of space. It just has to be within that moment that works best for you as an individual.
So you can be in the center of a maelstrom and basically be train yourself then to do that. You can find that spot, get centered, and be right there and be able to pull these gifts in, like you know, Satinball is saying here. You know, being able to bring the psychic gifts forward kind of almost on demand or as they're needed.
Exactly. And, you know, we're not allowed to live on mountains so much anymore. So we get to live in cities and share the news and share all of these tools with a lot more people. So, you know, it's just about getting tools so that you can live in a city and still have quiet and do what's right for you, do what's right for your calling or your life or what your wishes are.
Okay. Well, to wrap things up then, we've had a great interview here. I'm just going to ask the final question is, what are you doing? What's coming up for you with Energetic Solutions? And do you travel around and lecture? Do you know, what's coming up for you?
Oh, great question. We have a workshop coming up here in Southern California, December 12th and 13th, which is the basics of energy. And you can get that on the Energetic Solutions site or just sign up for our e-news there. And then I actually have a radio show every Friday morning called Master Your Energy, Master Your Life. And so I do that. I have a lot of fun doing that. And I'm supposed to be traveling, and so just keep your eyes and ears peeled to the newsletter because we give all kinds of details as to where I am and what I'll be doing and what workshops. And we do we have some teleseminars and webcasts that we do every month. And, you know, those are fun and interactive and get everybody involved in playing with energy and learning how to play with energy and getting to the core of what's right for them. So I would say that's the sum of it for now.
Okay. And again, you know, Siobhan, thank you for being on. And your main website, you have several, but the one I grabbed hold of here was www.energeticsolutions.net, but I think you have one in your name also.
Yes, SiobhanMoran.com. That's SHEEV as in Victor, AUNMORAN.com.
Okay. Well, with that, I want to thank you very much for being on. It's been a great show, and I will be definitely in touch with you 30 minutes after I wind down the studio. I'll definitely go out on your site and drop an email too, and get some something scheduled up for March April timeframe. So, thank you so much for being on with us. We really appreciate it.
Thanks, John. I had a lot of fun. You have a great night.
Okay, you too. Thanks so much, Siobhan. Bye now. And that was Siobhan O'Connor Moran, and she's going to be. I'm going to be a kind of an experimental subject, it seems, with this meditation stuff. So to all you guys out there, I'm going to go ahead and do the read-off on the list. And Kathy, night all, God bless, moi, and back at you, Kathy. We love you to death, my darling. So I'm going to get you on the show, by the way, and do a show about you. So, you know, definitely catching up with myself. Karen, hey, love you to death. Going to talk to you later about some of the things coming up with our investigations. D-H-U-E-N-E, hello. Good to see you aboard, my friend. And we've got Satin Doll, good questions that you had there. Those are great. And I'm going to talk about briefly, we've got another gentleman, similar kind of show to this one, from Rick Hayes from Life's Gift. It's going to be here on Friday at 8 o'clock to share time with us about his mediumistic abilities and experiences. Very interesting fellow, and he is going to be on with us Friday at 8 o'clock. And so with that, we're going to go ahead and wind it down and call it a show. And I think we'll play a little bit of, let's see, let me find something good here for the last minute of the show. Something that's I think we're going to find I'll play at least one of the bumpers for fun. Here we go.
Troops is filmed on location with the men of the Imperial Forces. All suspects are guilty, period. Otherwise, they wouldn't be suspect, would they?
Okay, and here's the GRI Cops remix, and we'll play that out for the archive. Good night, everybody.
For a Scooby snack?
Bad boys, what you gonna do? What you gonna do when they come
would
for you?
Would you do it for a Scooby snack?
What you gonna do? What you gonna do when they come for you? Bad boys, what you gonna do?
Are there any spiritual entities who wish to speak with us here at the bookstore? If so, please go ahead and
Stanley Street Saloon.
Stanley Street Saloon.
Bad boy, but what you gonna do? What you gonna do when they come for you? Nobody now giving no break. Police now giving no break. That old soldier man now giving no break. That even your eyes are now giving no break.
GRI is filmed on location by the men and women of Ghost Rider Investigations. All cases are suspect until proven genuine through scientific analysis and testing.